Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Golds, a Florida State baseball podcast. We're just one day away from opening day of the 2024 season. It's currently Thursday morning. Recording this here by myself for a season preview. Aria has some women's basketball stuff. He's up in North Carolina right now. So just going to record this by myself, get some thoughts out there about the team, kind of go break down the rotation, the bullpen, and break down the position player groups, and give some expectations and a Butler preview here. Opening weekend, obviously really excited to just get started. It's been a long time. Obviously, season ended pretty early last year with no ACC tournament, no postseason. So, you know, just been a lot of summer ball. A lot of fall ball and a lot of preseason action that I've taken in and evaluated the team, the progressions over the last 8 months or so since last time we saw FSU baseball on the field as a group against another team, outside of obviously the two fall exhibitions at Alabama and Mercer. So just excited to see the team on the field against somebody else, see how they perform and see how closely the evaluations that I have are, you know, hopefully they're good, and hopefully I've done a good job of kind of keeping everybody updated throughout the baseball off season. It's a long one, but a lot of stuff is going on in the background that not many people see, but I'm fortunate enough to get the opportunity to go out there for every scrimmage and see how the guys are coming along, and that's something that every coach and staff that I've, you know, covered since I've been here has allowed me to do. And it's something I enjoy, but, you know, I obviously enjoy the regular season more. So excited to get kicked off here tomorrow at 5 p.m. against Butler. Yesterday, Link had him on the podcast, and he also talked to the media. He announced the weekend rotation of Cam Leiter as the Friday starter, Jamie Arnold as the Saturday starter, and Connor Whitaker as the Sunday starter. You know, coming out of last weekend, that's pretty much what I expected to be the case. I thought potentially maybe Ben Barrett would be on Sunday, and that would give them Whitaker in the bullpen. But, you know, they ended up going with Whitaker on Sunday, which I think most Sundays you should have an advantage with Connor Whitaker on the mound, and just the trust that you have in him. And, you know, you know that he's going to go 5, 6, 7 innings, 2, 3 runs, and it's going to be consistent. It's going to be 3 pitches in the strike zone and command the baseball. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for Connor, and I think he earned it with the work he did in the second half of the year last year as a starter. You know, obviously, Leiter on Friday, I've been saying for a while that I was confident in that. Cam's just been extremely consistent and pretty dominant since the start of fall. Leiter's gonna have a 4-pitch mix of 4 pitches that have all flashed above average at times. You know, even on the days that he doesn't have all 4 pitches going, if he's got 3, and even if he's got 2 with the fastball in the strike zone, like, he's gonna fight, he's gonna battle, and he's probably gonna give you solid innings. Fastball's gonna be 94, 96, up to 7, 8. Good life up in the zone. Slider, 88, 90 with good depth to it, despite being that hard. And you know, on this past weekend, he's kind of struggled to find the slider until the 4th and 5th inning, and really started going after that. But I thought it was good to see him make adjustments, work through it, battle through it. I think the thing I've seen with Cam over these 6 months of him throwing in fall and preseason is he understands pitching. I think he understands what he needs to do to be successful. And he makes in-game adjustments, and that's good to see. That's what you want to see out of a Friday guy. Biggest thing with Cam, his intensity, his ability to set the tone on Friday's nights. That was something that Link mentioned yesterday, and something I've been mentioning for a while. He competes unlike anybody else. He's going to be fiery. Obviously, you got to channel that in the right direction. And the emotions will be high with a full packed house of fans. So you got to channel it in the right direction. But we saw in 2021 and 22 with Parker Messick as the Friday night guy, when you have that kind of energy and intensity combined with pitch execution, It's really hard to lose on Fridays with that on the mound. And I think Leiter is going to give FSU a chance to win every Friday when he's out there because of the four pitch mix and his intensity. And it's just keep the fastball in the strike zone. And I think Leiter is going to get guys out at a high rate and strike guys out at a high rate. Jamie Arnold has made some really good mechanical and physical improvements since last year. Link also mentioned just the maturity. You know, Jamie was is a young kid for his class. He was 18 all last year, as he had to fill some big shoes and some big roles. Started last year in the rotation, but ended up moving to the bullpen after some struggles. But Jamie's made big improvements all the way back since the summer. Mechanically, he's a little bit more upright on his back knee. Doesn't sink into it as fast. It allows him to push off of that back leg and get some more power out of it. He also is he's aligned better down the hill, doesn't cut himself off as much, which has given him a more consistent command. The fastball's been up to 96 this spring, which has been really good, but he'll probably sit in like the 91, 93 range, bumping 4, 5, 6 once in a while when he really rears back and goes and gets it. Just more consistently in the strike zone recently. Slider, you know, just that sweepy slider is going to come across the zone and break about 18, 22 inches horizontal break. The biggest thing for Jamie maybe has been adding the changeup just to give him another variation and get right-handed hitters off the fastball and just make guys have to think about that third pitch rather than being 50-50 on fastball slider. When Jamie's fastball is up in the zone, it's going to miss a ton of bats. That life from that low slot, it's just really hard for hitters to pick up. And Connor, like I said, three pitch mix, fastball, slider, changeup. His execution always gets better the more and more he pitches. He just doesn't miss spots. And every pitch is kind of within 6 inches of where Connor's trying to throw it. He executes well with the slider, executes well with the changeup. The fastball command has gotten better, like Link mentioned on the one-on-one with him yesterday. Just the ability to get the ball down at the knees is big for Connor. Generates a lot of fastballs with that sinking action. But also, he's been doing a better job recently of running it off the left-handed hitter's hips, which can just lock up left-handed hitters and give him more of a chance to get to the changeup late in counts to generate swings and misses. So I believe that's a strong rotation. It's not Wake Forest. Wake Forest is going to have an absurd rotation that is kind of in a league of its own in the ACC. But I think Leiter, Arnold, Whitaker, I think it should stack up with most other teams in the conference and a lot of other teams in the country, especially if you get out of Leiter what I expect him to be. Like I said, four pitch mix like that, you just don't find it that often in college. But he's got it, and I'm excited to see what he looks like on Friday night. Florida State announced today that they're going to be wearing all garnet on opening day, garnet tops, garnet pants. I expect that to be the uniform they wear on Fridays at home this year. I still expect them to have some other new uniforms as well. Just haven't got them all in yet, I don't think, from Nike. But the Leiter, Arnold, Whitaker rotation, it leaves you with some question marks in the bullpen, just not having somebody back there that has kind of been that bullpen workhorse before, but there's plenty of options, and I think there's upside there. Link mentioned forearms in a kind of a group of potential high-leverage guys yesterday. Those were Carson Dorsey, Ben Barrett, Noah Short, and Gavin Adams. He also talked about Andrew Armstrong and Brendan Oxford, and then the young gun trio of Hudson Rowan, Brady Lauck, and Matt Saucer. You know, first on high potential high leverage guys, I think Dorsey was the first name he mentioned yesterday, and I think Dorsey will be someone that could be a potential Friday, Sunday bounce back kind of guy for them that maybe throws two innings on Friday and two innings on Sunday in high leverage moments. It's a four pitch mix from Dorsey from the left side, really high quality fastball that's going to miss bats. Slider has taken a big step forward, mid-80s slider. He also mixes in a low, like mid-70s curveball. Changeup as well that showed plus early in the preseason, but has been a little bit more inconsistent here the last couple of weeks. But you know, it's four pitches in play with his fastball and probably a play up in the bullpen, I would think. The only thing with Carson is he hasn't really done this before. He started every appearance that he made last year at Gulf Coast State College. So I'll be intrigued to see how he takes to those moments and what he looks like in potential high leverage moments. Ben Barrett, like I mentioned, I thought maybe he was next in line for the weekend rotation. He's shown such a good ability to have three pitches in play at all times in the strike zone with movement. Fastball, I think they think he can probably tick up a bit more in the bullpen as well with the physical 6'4" frame. You know, he'll probably be 91 to 93, bumping a 94, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it tick up more to a 95, 96 potentially when he's in the bullpen and in some big moments. Changeup and slider, both good for Ben. I really have been a big fan of the changeup for a while. Gets a ton of movement, sometimes looks like a screwball. The slider, it's a good sweeper slider that he's going to throw to right-handed hitters. And he just gets outs quick. He generates weak contact on the ground. So I think Ben will be someone that eats innings for them out of the pen. Noah Short, experienced sidearmer from West Virginia, career appearance leader at West Virginia. 88-90 fastball. Up in the zone, it can look like a rise ball. He's done a better job this preseason of sinking it down in the zone to get ground balls. Sweeper slider in the mid-70s and also has a changeup. Gavin Adams, obviously the flamethrower and kind of the X factor for this pitching staff. He was up to 101 this past weekend. Fastball was sitting 96-98, touch 99 pretty often, touch 100 and 101. Changeup is the out pitch for Gavin right now. Looked really, really good this past weekend. This past weekend, he was basically just fastball changeup. Changeup will be about 88-91. Like Ben's, it gets a ton of movement. It looks like a screwball at times too. But when it's coming in at 88-91, there's just, you're not going to find many other changeups in the country that looks like Gavin's. And it was really, really good this past weekend and generated tons of swings and misses. He's struggling right now to find the shape of the slider consistently. That's something that he's working on and would kind of open up another variation for him. Slider was really good for him in JUCO last year at times, but he just hasn't really found it consistently since being at Florida State, but still something that he's working on getting back into the mix. Thing with Gavin is just strikes, fastball command. Is it going to be in the strike zone enough for you to use Gavin in high leverage moments when you're only up a run or two? Like, is he going to put the ball in the strike zone and attack hitters enough that you can trust him with small leads? I think that's something that we'll just have to see early in the season. And how does it play when there's a full stands and another team in the box? Is it going to be in the strike zone or is it not? And you know, is it going to be in there, the strike zone, enough that he can limit with the fastball changeup mix? That's just something that we're going to have to see as we enter the season here. But he just never showed enough strike zone consistency to be a weekend rotation guy for them. I think he was in the mix for a while with his upside, but ultimately with just fastball changeup and not much command, it's hard to put him in there over Connor. Yoel Tejeda, kind of another question mark in the bullpen. Yoel's just struggled to find consistency with the off speed with his splitter and slider throughout, you know, since the time he's been here. Just doesn't really have the put away pitch yet to get hitters off the fastball and miss bats consistently. I don't know what real role Yoel will settle into here earlier in the season. Maybe kind of mid relief, inning eater. That's something that's to be seen as well. There's going to be veterans in the mix, like I mentioned, left-handers, Andrew Armstrong, Brennan Oxford. Army's still dealing with the oblique injury that he suffered in fall. I don't think he'll be available for this opening weekend, but I do think he's working his way back from that currently. Ox slider plays when it's down in the zone, fastball up in the zone. Other guys, Ryan Dennison, he added a splitter that I think will be a true weapon for the pitching staff. I think you get Ryan in there at certain moments against certain hitters, and if he's executing that splitter, it's going to be really, really hard for hitters to pick it up. It drops off the table. I think the thing with Ryan is it it's a tough pitch to figure out exactly what it's going to do when it leaves your hand. You just have to get used to throwing it. You have to get used to where you want to release it and how you want it to play against right-handers and left-handed hitters. So I think as Ryan gains more experience with that splitter, it's only going to get better. Connor Holtz and Joe Charles, probably two other veteran guys in the mix. Holtz, a JUCO transfer, spins the high spin breaking balls, but he needs to execute those high spin breaking balls better down in the zone for that to matter. He hasn't found the release point, and he's left those pitches up in the zone or out of the zone to the arm side. He just needs to do a better job of consistently getting those pitches down in the zone. But big thing for Connor this preseason has been he's added a really good changeup. He's got a true four pitch mix now. And if he could just execute the breaking balls down in the zone, I think he'd be a weapon for FSU. But he has not consistently shown that yet, but there's still that ability to get to it. Joe, he'll be up to 95. Fastball will probably sit 92, 93, 94. He'll also throw a pair of breaking balls, slider against right-handed hitters and curveball against left-handed hitters. And then Link obviously talked a lot yesterday about the young gun trio of freshman arms that they expect to use early and often to try to throw them into the fire and get them used to it and see how they handle the moment. Those guys will be Hudson Rowan, Brady Lauk, and Matt Saucer. I've talked about Hudson and Brady both coming off injury. They both missed the fall, but have been really, really impressive this preseason. Hudson coming off torn ACL. I think Hudson's got the best fastball on the pitching staff. Not velocity-wise, but how it's going to play in-game. He's probably going to sit 92, 93. He bumped to 5 a couple weeks ago. It's just he's going to miss bats like nobody else with the fastball. The way he hides it behind him and then comes straight from over the top, it's so hard for hitters to pick up. And then the riding life it gets on it. We've seen him miss bats at the highest level possible. And he has a really tight curveball that he pairs well off the fastball up in the zone. And I think as long as Hudson's in the strike zone, he's gonna strike hitters out at a super high rate. And he's someone that competes extremely hard. And I expect he's gonna be someone that's used pretty often. And I think as long as he's in the strike zone, that he has a real chance to throw in high leverage moments. Brady Lauk, he also has good fastball quality. His slot's more like Jamie Arnold's slot. It's kind of in between Jamie Arnold's and Wyatt Coelho's slots, just in between those two. Good fastball quality, 90-93. Going to miss bats with the fastball as well. Big thing with Brady this past weekend, the weekend before, his breaking ball had been in the low 70s and just didn't have real sharp snapping break to it. I think that probably was just because getting the feel back, coming back from Tommy John. But then this weekend, he flashed a really sharp, good sweeping slider across the zone that looks pretty similar to Arnold's. And, if he can do that consistently and pound the zone consistently, that's another left-handed weapon out of the pen. Matt Saucer is someone that's just been extremely consistent since the start of fall. I've always been a fan of Saucer. His fastball, another guy that has good fastball quality, probably going to be 90, 93, bumping to 94. He pairs the fastball with the slider. And Sauce he controls the strike zone really well. He pounds the strike zone. I think the thing I like the most about Sauce is the pace that which he works. He gets the ball and he goes. There's no wasted energy. There's no wasted movement. He gets the ball and goes, and he wants the ball in play. He wants his defense to just control the game with him. I think he's someone that will have opportunities to potentially start midweek games and also get some middle relief work and eat some innings for this team this year. A couple other freshmen I'll mention, John Abraham and David Davila. Abraham's going to spin a pair of good breaking balls, a curveball, and a slider. Davila, he's only going to really reach up to 88, 89, but it's good fastball quality. He gets a lot of swings and misses on the fastball. He has a really low release point that makes it hard to pick up, and he gets good riding life up in the zone. Also throws a pair of breaking balls. I think Davila will be someone that gets some bullpen work on the midweeks. And Abraham is someone that has been built up to potentially start midweek games as well. He threw four innings along with Saucer this past week and performed well through four innings and held his stuff for four innings, so that was good to see. So that's a pretty complete breakdown of the pitching staff. Three guys will be out this year, Peyton Manca, freshman, David Barrett, and Mason McDougal will be out with arm injuries. And then Jacob Marlowe, don't know for sure where he's at in his recovery. Sure, you've seen he had a couple of heart surgeries in the fall. Luckily, you know, for Jacob, he's doing all right now, and he's picked up a baseball and thrown a bit. He lost a lot of weight through the procedures, and they're trying to put that weight back on him and see, you know, just kind of how his process goes. I don't think there's any set timeline for him, but I also don't think a return has been completely ruled out for this season for Jacob. But obviously won't be available to begin the year. So probably going to be down him and Armstrong to begin the year. We'll see how Army progresses. That oblique has been bothering him for a while. Obviously, Army threw a lot of innings for you last year and is a key on your left side of the mound out of the bullpen. So would be big to get him back in the mix here soon. Moving on to position player side of things, I think I'll start with kind of the spots that I think are pretty shored up. I think the most solidified spots are probably the corner infield spots with Cam Smith at third base and Daniel Cantu at first. I think we all know the upside of Cam. We all know the frame that's there, the strength, the arm strength, the power. Cam hit just a ridiculous home run this past weekend, connected on a fastball over the plate and just absolutely smoked it, 111 miles per hour off the bat and 453 feet per track man. I think it probably went farther than that, to be honest. It was still basically traveling upwards when it left the park to dead center field and zoomed right through a couple trees in center field. I was pretty worried that the ball might hit my truck that was parked in the first row out there, but it luckily missed. Cam just has silly power when he connects, and he's going to hit the ball as hard as anyone. His throws across the diamond are as strong as anyone's. Cam needs to be a bit more consistent with his feet at third base, I think. He is athletic, but he needs to get his feet a little bit more active at third, I think, and put himself in some better positions. But I trust what Cam's going to be and what Cam's going to give you offensively if he sticks to the adjustments that he made in the Cape and continues to drive the ball to the backside and the middle side in the middle of the field as he's been doing for the last, ever since last season ended, really. Cantu is just a really stable presence, both offensively and defensively. I think I would rate Cantu as the best and most consistent glove on this team, and he's going to be someone that helps out the rest of the infield. Left-handed bat that's going to give you some pop, had 11 homers last year. He's not going to strike out too much. He's just a consistent presence. He's a veteran presence. The star has played in 170-plus games in his college career. That's just a really good experienced grizzled veteran to have in the middle of your lineup and over at first base to stabilize your infield defense. I think Lance Triple will probably back up Cantu at first. I don't think there's per se a backup third baseman that's gonna play for sure if Cam weren't able to go. I think it'd probably just be somebody from the middle infield group moving over to third, like a Kyle Fisher, Titan Kamaka would probably back up Cam, but both those guys are going to be involved in the middle infield. I think Alex Lodice and Drew Ferreau will be the starting middle infield on opening day and get the first crack at the lineup. I don't know for sure. There's been some shuffling going on there this last week, but I think Lodice will start it short with Ferreau at second base. Fisher and Kamaka have both made this interesting, especially Fisher, the freshman at shortstop, has just been consistent defensively and offensively. Hit a home run over the retired numbers in left center this past weekend. But I think the production from Lodice and Ferreau last year will get them the opening day start to begin the year. Obviously, Titan produced last year as well, and his opportunities, I think he had about 115 at-bats and hit 5 homers, and you know there's juice in Titans' bat. I don't think there's a bad option here between the four of these guys. I think it's a deep group. It's just ultimately who's the most consistent out of the group and who can give you the most consistent defense. But I think you know you're going to get offensive impact with Lodice and Ferreau on a pretty consistent basis. Ferreau's just got to limit the Ks, but both those guys are going to hit for power, and Lodice has shown consistent bat-to-ball skills. In the outfield, I think, you know, you have the returning trio of Jaime, who's been in left field, Diamas Ross in center, and James Tibbs in right. I think we know what Tibbs and Jaime are. Diamas is the table setter. As he goes, his offense goes. We saw that last year when he was in there and healthy, the offense was decent. When he wasn't in there, the offense was just not good at all. So you need Diamas being that table setter, and I think Diamas, to me, has looked really good recently, both offensively and defensively. I think last year when Diamas got hurt and wasn't able to be out there taking reps, it really hurt his defense. Just his reads and his angles weren't as good when he came back. But recently, his reads and his angles and his routes on balls in the outfield have been awesome. And he's looked like himself again. And his bat to ball, his strike zone awareness at the plate, his ability to work counts and put the ball in play and makes things happen. I just really enjoy watching Diamas play baseball, and I enjoy watching his baseball instincts go to work. Jaime, the bat to ball, is probably the best on the team. I think with better pitch selection this year will come more power numbers. Just swinging at better pitches with his strength and his bat to ball is going to give him the ability to impact the baseball with extra base hits. Well, he's always produced the extra base hits with doubles, but I think he'll be able to get a few more homers this year with the pitch selection being better. Tibbs, it's just, you know what you got with Tibbs. He's going to hit. Both those guys are going to hit. I mean, Jaime started every single game since he's been at Florida State and has hit 300-plus both years. Tibbs has hit 300-plus both years, 17 homers last year. I think the power production for Tibbs also has a chance to go up. It's just such easy power to all fields. I think the fourth outfielder in this group and someone that will make it interesting with Jaime and Tibbs in the corners, just if their defense was to falter and they had to be moved to a DH spot. Max Williams is someone that I think the staff is very high on, and especially Link. I think they think he's a very good defender and has a chance to hit for a lot of power from the left side. Williams, he has probably the most powerful batting practice of anyone. We haven't seen that completely come through in games yet, but I think he hit like 21 doubles and 5 homers and playing 50 games in the summer. And like I said, Link really likes him defensively. It's a really big arm and someone that can probably play all three positions in the outfield. So I think Max will get plenty of opportunities. I just, how you get him in there, I don't know for sure with Ferrer and Tibbs, unless you were to DH one of those guys. I think you need Diamas in the lineup and in center field. I think you need Diamas in the lineup, like I said, just to be that table setter. Others that will be involved with the outfield, Jordan Williams and Andrew Duncan, both those guys maybe in defensive positions and also just as base runners. Both of those guys can make things happen with their wheels. Dunk is someone that I think could potentially be a bat for them down the line. And Jay Will, switch hitting opportunities for him. And Jay Will probably be someone that comes in and lays down bunts when they need them. He's just really good at the small things and a good piece to have off your bench. And moving to catcher, I think Link mentioned yesterday that one of his concerns is who steps up defensively at catcher. I think I've been voicing that for a while now. You know, it is a deep group with four guys that are capable of producing offensively. It's just who takes control of the defensive of the defense back there, and who steps up once the season starts. I don't know exactly who will end up starting on opening day. Eileen Holbrook. I wouldn't be surprised though if they went with a platoon of Jackson West, the left-handed hitter facing right-handed pitching. I still don't think Dingus is ready to catch defensively on an everyday basis. I think Dingus will likely be their designated hitter to start the year. Max Williams, who I mentioned in the outfield, could also be a candidate for that with the left-handed power. I've honestly thought that freshman Riley Jackson has probably had the best preseason of the catchers. Riley has freshman moments from time to time, but he's impacted the ball consistently at the plate for extra base hits throughout the preseason. Well, I think that's a good roundup of the entire group, both sides of the ball. I put a predicted lineup on Knowles 247 and broke all this down on Knowles 247 as well, if you want to go find that. But I think just moving on to expectations for the season, I think the strengths of this team, are pretty obvious. It's just the physicality of the offense and the depth of power 1 through 9, no matter kind of the guys you end up rolling out there, you're going to have depth of power. You're going to have physicality. You should produce offensively if the approach is right, you're going to produce. If you don't make tons and tons of base running errors and run yourself out of innings, you should produce. This team's going to hit home runs. There's power potential all over the place. I think the rotation is a strength. Like I said, I think it should stack up with pretty much anyone but Wake in the conference, and that's only because Wake is in a league of their own when it comes to the rotation this year. Concerns, I think just execution out of the bullpen. Like I said, you don't have somebody back there that has really done it and been a workhorse before, and you don't have someone who's really been that closer, high leverage type. But I think there's guys that are capable. I'm not saying that I think the bullpen will be bad. It's just ultimately who steps up, who is the guy that can execute in big moments to get you wins at the end of games and close games out. And are the young guns able to step up as freshmen and fill roles that could potentially be needed to fill if older arms aren't able to step up into those roles this year? Like I said, catcher defense, but just defense overall, just the consistency of the defense, the small things that go into the defense, outfield cuts, all that stuff that has kind of just not been very good for a pretty long time now. That's, I think I said this on the last podcast, like you gotta prove it to me, but I gotta see it for you to prove it to me that the defense is better. And I don't think the defense has shown to be better throughout the fall and the preseason. Maybe marginally, but it's still not the level of defense that, elite teams have. And like Link said, there's just a lot of it's about instincts and trying to find instinctive defenders. And it's hard to kind of develop that into someone. They just either come with it or not, I think, when it comes to defensive instincts. But how does this team defend? How does this team run the bases? Does the team throw enough strikes? I think those are the big concerns for me. But like I said, you're going to hit homers. And most of the time, if you out-homer other teams, like, you win baseball games. And Cam Leiter, I think, is a true Friday night guy. And I think when you win on Friday nights, it gives you a really good chance of winning a series. And like I've said before, you get back to the postseason by winning 2 or 3 on the weekend in the ACC play. And you take care of business in the non-conference. And taking care of business in the non-conference will start with Butler tomorrow night, Friday at 5 p.m. Justin Hornschmeyer will be the starter for Butler on opening day. I was reading some stuff that their coach had to say about him. He's a Wright State transfer, didn't pitch last year. Numbers at Wright State in the 2 years he was there weren't very good, but he's someone that will be in the mid-90s velocity-wise. I think, harnessing command for Hornschmeyer is the big thing, but I think I saw he's been up to 96. A taller kid, I think he's 6'6". The thing to know about a 5 o'clock start at Dick Houser Stadium is the shadows will be really tough on the hitters. Probably be 3/4 of the way to the mound, with the mound in the sunlight and the shadows covering up kind of everything towards the plate from that. So it can make it hard to pick up the ball, but if anything, these hitters are used to it because during the week they scrimmage most times during the week at 4 or 5 o'clock. So they're used to those shadows, but facing that velo, and if it's all over the place, it can be tough to pick up in that setting. But with it being opening day, they should be ready to go. Game two, Tyler Banks will start for Butler. Their Sunday is TBA for Butler. Banks had a 3.8 ERA last year at North Park. He was at North Park for 5 years, it looks like. So we'll see what he has to offer. Wasn't able to find too much information on Banks. Butler last season was 12-43. So obviously not a great year. I don't think they've won 20 plus games in the last 5 years or so. So, you know, just go take care of business this weekend. If you play well, if you don't hurt yourself and you hit the way you should hit, should come out of here with for sure a series win and hopefully a sweep to begin the year. You know, like Link said on the podcast, this program needs to get off to a good start. They need to win baseball games. Like, it just hasn't happened in a while here that you rack up a ton of wins to begin the year and get off to a good start and just feel good about yourself. But there's an opportunity here to rack up wins and be ranked maybe going into ACC play if you take care of business. But like I said, a lot of variables to this, you know, some things to figure out in the bullpen, some things to figure out on the middle infield and behind the plate. But both those spots, I think you have depth. It's just about who steps up when you get to playing other teams. So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be interesting. I don't think, you know, I think obviously it'll be better than last year. It'd be hard to not be better than last year. Where do I see this team ending up? It's hard to tell. I do think they'll get back to the NCAA postseason. You know, I don't think it's guaranteed. I definitely don't think that's guaranteed, especially with the ACC and how tough it is, how deep it is, and the road schedule that you got to play in the ACC. It's going to be really hard, and you're going to have to play good baseball to win games in the ACC this year. I think Florida State probably ends up being a 2 or 3 seed at SEC regional is probably what I would predict if I had to. I think they're a potential fringe regional team, regional host team. If things were to come together, if everything was to come together and everybody hit their highest potential, then you got something special. But you know, when does that really happen? How often does everything go right for you in a baseball season? Baseball is a game of failure, and things are going to happen, and dips are going to come. And I think how they handle those dips is ultimately I think how the dips go and how they respond to the dips is going to tell you how this season ends up and where they end up going. But yeah, let's just get this thing started. Let's just get to 5 o'clock Friday night. I'm looking forward to it. If you listen to this podcast, I think this is episode 90. We're closing in on 100. Hopefully, Ari will be back with me after the weekend to discuss the opening weekend and then look forward to next week's games. I think play JU on Tuesday and then Western Carolina second weekend. So, you know, all the fun starts tomorrow. It's always a grind. It's a long season. Like I said, there's ups and downs. You got to roll with it. There's gonna be dips. There always are. But ultimately, hopefully there are more highs than dips. So if you could, please subscribe to the podcast. You can find us pretty much anywhere that podcasts are. Apple Pods, Google Pods, Spotify. Subscribe. Leave us a review if you can. A 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. But for me and Aria, this is episode 90 of Sunday Goals, the 2024 season preview. And next time we talk to you, 3 baseball games will be in our back pocket, and we'll have some more information to talk about. So happy opening day.